Asmat from model. Prasushrutaha. Prasushruta, his son. Tasha of Prasushruta. Sandhi. A son named Sandhi. Tasha, his Sandhis. Api, also. Amarshana, a son named Amarshana. Mahasvam, the son of Amarshana. Tat, his. Sutaha, son. Tasmat, from him, Mahasvam. Vishvabahu, a Vishvabahu. Ajayata, took birth. So translation from Maru was born a son named Prasushruta. From Prasushruta came Sandhi, from Sandhi came Amarshana, and from Amarshana a son named Mahasvan, from Mahasvan Vishvabahu took his birth. So the next few verses are just about people having sons. No daughters here. Too bad.
They're not mentioned.
I'm sure they had daughters too. Anyways, the next few verses are about family history until we get to the next chapter. So we'll keep reading. The tapasena chittasmat takshako bhavata punaha tato brahad bandho yastu pitra te samarehataha. From Vishvabahu came a son named Prasenajit. From Prasenajit came Takshaka. It's not the Takshaka who killed Prajit Maharaj. And from Takshaka came Brihadbala, who was killed in a fight by your father. Ooh. Text 9. Etehi ahikshvakubu pala atita srinvinagatan. Brahanbalasya bhavitta putro nanna brohondranaha. All these kings in the dynasty of Kshvaku have passed away. Now please listen as I describe the kings who will be born in the future. From Brihadbala will come Brahadrana. Text 10. Urukriya sutastasya vatsa vritto bhavishyati. Prativyoms tito vanur adivako vahini patahi. The son of Brihadrana will be Urukriya, who will have a son named Vatsavrida. Vatsavrida will have a son named Prativyoma, and Prativyoma will have a son named Banu, from who Divaka, a great commander of soldiers, will take birth. Text 11. Sahadevastato viro brihadvasvota vanuman patikashvo vanumatta sampratikota tatsutaha. From Divaka will come a son named Sahadev, and from Sahadev a great hero named Brihadvasva. From Brihadvasva will come Vanuman, and from Vanuman will come Pratikashva. The son of Pratikashva will be Supratika. Text 12. Vavita marudevota sunakshatro ta pushkaraha tashantarikshastat putra sutapastada mitrajit. Thereafter, from Supratika will come Marudeva, from Marudeva Sunakshatra, from Sunakshatra Pushkara, and from Pushkara Antariksha, the son of Antariksha, will be Sutapa, and his son will be Amitrajit. Text 13. Brahadra jastu tashyapi vahistasmat kritanjayaha. Vannanjayastasya sutta sanjayo bhavita tatakha. From Amitrajit will come a son named Brahadraja, from Brihadraja will come Barhi, and from Barhi will come Kritanjaya. The son of Kritanjaya will be known as Rananjaya, and from him will come a son named Sanjaya. Text 14. Tasmachakyota shuddodo alangalas tatsutasmitaha tatapasena jittasmat shudrako bhavitatataha. From Sanjaya will come Sakya. From Shakya will come Shudoda. And from Shudoda will come Langana. From Langana will come Prasenajit. And from Prasenajit, Shudraka. Text 13. Avranako bhavitatasmat suratastanayasitaha sumitro naman nishtanta ete barhad valanvayaha. From Shudraka will come Ranaka, and from Ranaka will come Surata, and from Surata will come Sumitra, and in the dynasty, this is a description of the dynasty of Nihad Bala. And finally, text 16. Ikshvaku namayam vamsha sumitranto bhavishyati yatastam prapya rajanam samstam prapsyati vai kalau. The last king in the dynasty of Ikshvaku will be Sumitra. After Sumitra, there will be no more sons in the dynasty of the sun god, and thus the dynasty will end. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Kusha, the Son of Lord Ramachandra. So, finally, chapter 13. The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. So this chapter describes the dynasty in which the great and learned scholar Janaka was born. This is the dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, who was said to have been the son of Ikshvaku. When Maharaj Nimi began performing great sacrifices, he appointed Vasishtha to be the chief priest. But Vasishtha refused, for he had already agreed to be the priest in performing a yajna for Lord Indra. Vasishtha therefore requested Maharaj Nimi to wait until Lord Indra's sacrifice was finished. But Maharaj Nimi did not wait. He thought life is very short. There's no need to wait. He therefore appointed another priest to perform the yajna. Vasishtha was very angry at King Nimi and cursed him, saying, may your body fall down, curse in this way or in that way. Maharaj Nimi also became very angry, and he retaliated by saying, may your body also fall down. As a result of this cursing and counter-cursing, both of them died. It's called Guru Dakshin. After this incident, Vasishtha took birth again, begotten by Mitra and Varuna, who were agitated by Urvashi. The priests who were engaged in the sacrifice for King Nimi preserved Nimi's body in fragrant chemicals. When the sacrifice was over, the priest prayed for Nimi's life to all the demigods who had come to the arena of Yajna. But Maharaj Nimi refused to take birth again in a material body because he considered the material body obnoxious. The great sages then churned Nimi's body, and as a result of this churning, Janaka was born. The son of Janaka was Udavasu. And the son of Udavasu was Nandivardhana. The son of Nandivardhana was Suketu. And his descendants continued as follows. Devarata, Brihadrata, Mahavirya, Sudriti, Drishtaketu, Hariyashva, Maru, Pratipoka, Kritarata, Devamida, Vishruta, Mahadriti, Kriti Rata, Maharoma, Swarna Roma, Rasvaroma, and Shiradvaja. All these sons appeared in the dynasty one after the other. From Shiradvaja, Mother Sita Devi was born. Shiradvaja's son was Kushadvaja, and the son of Kushadvaja was Dharmadvaja. The sons of Dharmadvaja were Kritadvaja and Mitadvaja. the son of Kritavraja, was Keshi Dwaja, and the son of Mita Dwaja was Kandikya. Keshi Dwaja was a self-realized soul, and his son was Banuman, whose descendants were as follows: Shatadyumna, Shuchi, Sanadwaja, Urja, Ketu, Aja, Purujit, Avishtanemi, Shrutayu, Suparshvaka, Chitra, Ratta, Shime, Madi, Samaratta, Satcharatta, Upaguru, Upagupta, Vas, Vandanta, Yuyudha, Subhashana, Shruta, Jaya, Vijaya, Rita, Shunaka, Vita, Havya, Dhriti, Valuvasra, Kriti, and Mahavasu. All of these sons were great self-controlled personalities. This completes the list of the entire dynasty. Let's see how much time. Yeah, we have time. Anyway, we'll get to a purport pretty quickly and then we can start talking about things. So, text, we'll just read the next three texts. Text one, Shishukravacha Nemitraku Tanayo Vachishtam Avrithart Vijam Arabhya Satram Sopyaha Shakrena Pragvitos Mivoho. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, after beginning sacrifices, Maharaj Nimi, the son of Ikshvaku, requested the great sage Vashishtha to take the post of chief priest. At that time, Vashishtha replied, "My dear Maharaj Nimi, I have already accepted the same post in the sacrifice begun by Lord Indra." So, text two. Tam nivarcha gamishyami tavannam pratipalya tushnim asidrahapati Sopindrasya karon makam. I shall return here after finishing the yajna for Indra. Kindly wait for me until then. Maharaj Nimi remained silent and Vashishtha began to perform the sacrifice for Lord Indra. Text 3. Nimishchalam midam vidvan satramara batatmavan vittigbir aparashtavan Nagamad Yavata Guruhu. This is one of the few places where you have this term Ritvik, or Ritvik B here, in the Bhagavatam. Maharaj Nimi, being a self-realized soul, considered that this life is flickering. Therefore, instead of waiting long for Vashishtha, he began performing the sacrifice with other priests. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Chanakya Pandit says, Shridam Shana Vidvamsi Kapante Stayino Gunaha. The duration of one's life in the material world may end at any moment. But if within this life one does something worthy, that qualification is depicted in history eternally. Here is a great personality, Maharaj Nimi, who knew this fact. In the human form of life, one should perform activities in such a way that at the end he goes back home, back to Godhead. This is self-realization. So, Om Aganat Timurandasha Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvay Namaha. So this reminds me of a question that Srila Prabhupada had when I first met Srila Prabhupada in Gainesville, Florida. One of the reporters asked Prabhupada several different questions. One question, of course, was the question of why are there so many young people here? And Prabhupada answered, what is the age for education? And the reporter answered, young. And Prabhupada said, that's because you can't teach an old fool new tricks, an old dog new tricks. That was one answer. And then another question was raised about youth and things like that. And Prabhupada said, how do you know that you are not older than me? You know, he was talking to a young female reporter. How do you know that you're not older than me? And the reporter was looking at Prabhupada, who was basically over 70 years old, 70-something years old at that particular point, and the reporter got bewildered. And then Prabhupada asked the reporter the question, you know, what does old age mean? The reporter didn't know, and Prabhupada said, old age means how close you are to death. And Prabhupada said, how do you know that you're not closer to death than me? And the reporter didn't know that, obviously. So the point is, the param padam yad vipadam natesham, which means there's danger at every step. So one could die even if they're young, just like we recently had one of our close friends and Siksha disciple, 44 years old, just die like that. He was in, of course, some of you know the story. I brought him from his country of Slovenia to Fiji to teach. He's a very educated young man. And one morning he just collapsed. Of course, he had headaches before and he sort of knew something was happening but didn't want to see a doctor. But anyway, one morning he collapsed during the middle of the morning program. And after the morning program, they took him to the hospital and they scanned his brain, found out that he had a tumor. The tumor had pushed the brain to one side. The tumor was bleeding, hemorrhage. And he went unconscious, brain dead within an hour or two. And then we have to choose to pull the plug the next few hours. And pulling the plug means not keeping him artificially alive. And then he passed away. And one day he was preaching enthusiastically, next day gone. Of course, he was fortunate enough that he passed away surrounded by loving devotees, chanting the holy names. And even after the plug was pulled at the hospital, the body didn't stop breathing immediately, but as soon as they brought the body to the temple, immediately at that particular point, he or the body, whether he was in the body or not, it's hard to say because the brain was dead. But anyway, so then the body stopped breathing. And then he was very much respected. And then, of course, Krishna made all the arrangements so that his ashes were brought to Mayapur when I was there, and I was able to do the ceremony in Mayapur. So anyway, Krishna made the arrangements for him. So, the point is, any one of us could go at any minute. And we have to be ready to go. And the Bhagavatam states that what is the use of a long life without Krishna consciousness? It's like the bellows breathing, or the beasts eating and discharging semen, or the trees living. And Prabhupada gives the example of the California redwood trees. Some of you heard these trees before? They live for such a long time, and they become so big. And Prabhupada didn't speak about all this, but I'm just elaborating on the point. They become so big that they can make tunnels through these trees, you know, both directions, cars driving in both directions through a tree. I mean, hardly have we seen trees so big like this. They're living for thousands of years. And, of course, there's also trees that have lived for thousands of years in Vrindavan, but that's a different thing. Those trees are actually fortunate because they witness Krishna's pastime. Just like there's a nice pilu tree, not a big tree, but it's like a bush or something like that, at this place called Manasa Bhavana Ghat, which is in the Shamakund. And this pilu tree is an incarnation of Brahman from Kashi. And this pilu tree, or Brahman from Kashi, witnessed Krishna's pastimes. The gopis would put their clothes on top of the pilu tree as they bathe in the Shamakund. Right? So, anyway, that sort of tree is nice. But the Bhagavatam says, what is the use of a long life? In other words, if one is not Krishna conscious, his or her life has the same value as a beast eating, sleeping, discharging semen, or a tree, or a bellows. Imagine being compared to a bellows. You know, bellows, for those of you who don't know English that well, that's like what the blacksmith would use. Blacksmith is the person who puts the shoes on horses. Shoes are those, anyway, in case you didn't know what a horseshoe is. You don't buy it at the shoe store. It's a piece of metal. Anyway, so he would use these bellows to actually form the metal. And you just, and so a person's life without Krishna consciousness has the same significance as that. And of course Shakespeare says, life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. And, you know, so it's pretty heavy statements. And, I mean, obviously we're not going to tell people your life has no significance if you're not Krishna conscious. And then a complementary verse in the Bhagavatam is that even one moment of Krishna consciousness makes the life useful. And of course, even one moment of Krishna consciousness enables one to take a human birth in the next life. Just like I was just in Australia, and we were just feeding prasadam to ducks. And so that was that one moment in their life. I mean, what's the use of a duck life anyway? Isn't it? And the ducks were just there. So we were going on a bicycle ride with some of the children there. And I said, let's take some prasadam with us and feed the ducks. And so I was feeding the ducks and the swans and everything like that. So that was their one moment in life that had some significance. You know, everything else had no value at all. And those ducks are going to be human beings. Prabhupada actually said that to us when I was a Gurukul teacher many years ago, when I was kinder and gentler. I was taking care of the children, and every Saturday we were taking the children out to a duck pond and feeding bread to the ducks, prasadam bread, obviously, or chapatis. And Prabhupada said those ducks will take human births in the next life. So, I mean, that's valuable. Even one instant of Krishna consciousness. Swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatovaya. As the Bhagavad Gita says, even the little endeavor will save one from the most dangerous type of fear. The most dangerous type of fear, Prabhupada defines as falling down in the animal species of life. So, how do we apply this particular statement? Of course, then we can also take Prahlad Maharaj's statement in the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. Komara rachirat pragyo dharmam bhagavatam viha durlabham manasa janma tadapta ruva martidam. It's another interesting statement in the same context. That he says, I'm going to take the last part of the verse. This human life, durlabham manasa janma, that is very difficult to obtain because we're not in the majority. Although we may think we're in the majority, even in this room, we're in the minority. Even in your body, you're in the minority. Your body. You may say, you know, I'm in the majority in my body, at least. No. Every single cell in your body is a living entity. It's just waiting to become a human being after millions and millions of births. You know, cells in the body, and also the nice favorable flora in your gut. It means the bacteria. And the not so unfavorable flora in your gut. They're just like lower in the evolutionary path. And, you know, just waiting, going up and up and up. That reminds me of a story in the Mahabharata where Srila Vyasadeva was talking to a worm that was crossing the street. And the worm was going fast across the street. And Vyasadeva said, why is the worm, why are you going across fast, you know, wiggling fast across the road? And the worm said, there's a cart coming, he's going to crush me. And Srila Vyasadeva said, don't you understand, if you get crushed by this cart, you're going to take a higher birth in your next life. You're going to become probably a butterfly or something. Yeah. And then eventually, after many millions of births, you know, like 8,400,000, or how many there are between the worm birth and human birth, you're going to become a Shudra. Not so good. Then you become a Vaishan, you become my disciple. Then you become after that, you're a Kshatriya, my disciple. After that, a Brahmin, my disciple. And after that, you go back to Godhead. And so the worm said, Hari Bo, remained in the road, got squished. And he was enthusiastic. I don't know why Vyasadeva didn't feed him some prasadam so he could take a human birth and exit life. But anyway, that's the story of the Mahabharata. So the point is, durlabham manasa janma. It's very rare to have a human birth. Tadapta ruva martinam. One should take advantage of this valuable form of life. And at every minute, of course, Prahlad Maharaj states every minute for him means Komara Acharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatam. From the very beginning, when you're little kids. And for us, that means, of course, we're not, most of us are not little kids. I don't see any little kids. I don't see anyone under, what, 40-something? Except for Champaka, she's young. But most of us are pretty old. What that means is don't waste any moment. Because every moment, another thing that Prabhupada would often say, for every, actually Bhagavatam says, for every rising and setting of the sun, you know, day is lost, it cannot be bought. Prabhupada said you cannot buy back even one moment of time with millions of dollars. This Prabhupada said that one time. So we have to be very, very careful not to waste Krishna's time, and because we don't know when we're going to lose. And of course, as devotees or aspiring devotees, we know we're going to at least go to the heavenly planets in the next life. Like Krishna says in the Gita, for those who have made little advancement, they go to the heavenly planets, then take birth in a nice, rich family on the earth planet after that, and they'll have an opportunity for Krishna consciousness. And if you're very advanced, you take birth in a family of Vaishnavas. That's actually a very, very rare birth. But anyway, so Prabhupada also said, yes, then in either case, we'll have an opportunity for devotional service, but who knows if we'll take that opportunity. Prabhupada also made that point. You know, so devotees, you know, sometimes devotees would think, you know, what do I have to lose? At least I'm going to take birth in the heavenly planets, you know, be there with, I guess, Indra, see all those nice dancing girls. I mean, you probably forget about Krishna consciousness when you see Urvasi, you know, going, doing her thing up there. Or, remembering the story of Hanuman's birth, and his mother, who was an apsara, and she was cursed, because she got a little bit too lusty up there. She was cursed to actually become Anjali, or a monkey lady, which is actually Ram's pastimes. So anyway, there's no guarantee we're going to take up Krishna consciousness in the next life. Yes, you can't lose anything or any advancement that you made in this life, but there's no guarantee that you're actually going to become a devotee in your next life. You may just get bewildered. You may just, like, get into sense gratification. I mean, you've seen that even people who join the Krishna consciousness movement in this life, then sometimes they just get into sense gratification and go away. And of course, sometimes Prabhupada brings them back at the time of leaving the body, and they're very fortunate like that. But I remember, I was just listening to one memory yesterday. There was one servant of Prabhupada. Anyway, I guess I can mention his name was Aravinda. And he left. And Prabhupada said something very heavy. He said he never was a devotee. There's something very heavy about it. So anyway, so therefore we have to utilize all of our time in Krishna consciousness and not waste a moment. And especially we have to take advantage of whatever association, good association we have. And listening to the memories of Prabhupada, I hear many devotees there lamenting about how they didn't take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's association when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. Of course, we have his association through his vani, or through his words. There's one interesting story that I was just listening to about it. A girl who was appreciating Prabhupada's association, and she just had a few moments, like even an instant of a pure devotee's association can make your life successful. She was she was at the front desk of the Brooklyn Temple, the old Brooklyn Temple, not the present Brooklyn Temple. And Prabhupada was there in his room, and the room was close to the front desk. And Prabhupada was alone, and Prabhupada was, she was able to hear what Prabhupada was doing in his room. Prabhupada was chanting this song, Parama Karuna Bahudvijanam Nithai Gaurasun. Yeah, anyway. The most merciful Lords, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Parama Karuna, supremely merciful. And so that, but she was relating how Prabhupada would stop like every, maybe some of you have heard this memory before, because every day I listen to Prabhupada memories. She would, how Prabhupada would stop after each verse and start sobbing and crying and exhibiting his ecstasies. I mean, Prabhupada did not do that in front of people. You know, maybe once or twice it happened, and Prabhupada really kept himself back from exhibiting these symptoms. But she was listening, and it just overwhelmed her as she was hearing, actually the real sobbing, and Prabhupada was sobbing. I mean, I'm not going to imitate it, of course, because I don't have spiritual emotions. And that changed her whole life, just one moment. Her whole life, I mean, completely became transformed. I mean, she was already a devotee, but her whole life became transformed just by having that intimate association with a pure devotee like that. So we, in other words, whatever association or opportunity we have, we should take advantage of, and we don't know when we're going to lose that particular opportunity, association, or devotional service, or Krishna consciousness. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned, I've heard other people mention that also, that we have had millions of lifetimes.
Yes.
But it's only the human species that can develop karma, because we have the power of
control. That's right.
In other words, our thoughts.
That's right.
But the animals are all controlled by Mother Nature. You know.
Yeah, they're working out their karma that they had previously when they were human beings.
Okay.
Yeah. First you start, I mean, there's many descriptions of how you first start in the material world. One time Prabhupada said, first you become Lord Brahma. But the point is, you start out without any karma. You start out in a higher species without any karma. Then you start to accrue karma. You wouldn't become an animal unless you had karma. An animal or a plant or a cockroach or any other nice thing like that. Unless you had accrued karma in the human form of life, then you just working it out. I mean, it's not just a punishment. It's to rectify you. So you understand the mistakes you made when you're a human being and don't make the same mistakes again.
When we're up in the higher places of what Indra and better planets,
yeah.
We have karma coming with us when we come down here again.
What's that?
We have that
You're using up your good karma when you're in the higher planets. And then you come back down here, and higher planets you can also accrue karma, but here especially is the place for activities of accruing karma. So